You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan, comedian and TV producer. Please call me Sully. Today's date is the 20th day of September. We're now officially in late September 2019. We're going to be talking about one team that punched its ticket to the postseason and another team that fell out of their perch that they've been sitting in since May, and a few thoughts about races and maybe one or two serious things along the way. Hey, check us out on the Himalaya podcasting app and any platform we listen to shows. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB. Same for Instagram. Follow me, your pal Sully, on Twitter at Sully Baseball, on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or you can check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Yankees, where no doubt Stacy Gotsoulias, my dear friend, is dancing and celebrating and jumping up and down as her beloved Yankees, and she is a diehard Yankee fan, one of the best you'll ever meet. The Yankees have won their first American League East title since 2012. But it's kind of strange when you think about it. It's been 7 years, or by the time frame I like to say, two Red Sox World Series titles ago, that the Yankees have finished first place in the American League East. But do you know what? You got to give them the credit. They did it. They've earned it. They've earned this spot. They've earned this American League East title. At 154 games in, the old schedule right there, with 8 games left to play, they've won 100 games. You know, if they just split their next 8 games, that's a 104-win team just right there, not even playing winning ball the rest of the way. And they are tied in the win column, 1 game behind the loss column, with Houston to have the best record in the American League, or the best record in baseball. So this is a tremendous testament to Brian Cashman, a person who I have maligned tremendously over the years. In the old podcast, Sully Baseball, I used to trash Brian Cashman with great glee and furious anger. I try to basically channel a little Samuel L. Jackson right there. Because I thought he made terrible moves, especially after getting full control of the team. And I have to give the man credit. If I was going to trash the guy at one point, you have to give him credit at this point. Look at the injuries that they've had. Look at all the problems they've had with this team. And when you look at the Gio Urshelas and the DJ LeMahieus, you know, all the players who contributed to this team in a totally unpredictable manner. And Gleyber Torres becoming the star that he has. If you knew that they weren't going to have Betances all year, barely have Stanton, get virtually nothing from Severino, get nothing from Bird, have Didi Gregorius get injured at one point, you have, you know, Sanchez was hurt at one point, you know, technically Jacoby Ellsbury was under contract with the Yankees, but he's in a full body cast somewhere. With all of the injuries and some of the disastrous injuries, remember Troy Tulowitzki was on this team? I bet you forgot that. And all of the things that went wrong with the Yankees, to have them be a 100-win team and, let's face it, be a team that is really primed to be a World Series contender, you got to give them credit. You got to give Aaron Boone credit, too. And they win at home all the damn time. You look at their home record. How many times do they win the home series? Almost all of them since, like, April. So you know they're going to be scratching and clawing to get home field advantage, especially against Houston. Now, will they go far? Yeah. And this is coming from a lifelong Red Sox fan. In fact, I'll make the prediction. I will make this prediction right now. I predict that the Yankees, who have not been to a World Series all decade, will break that streak and win World Series number 28. It's going to happen this year. I'm calling it. I'm making it my official prediction right here. The Yankees, this Yankee team, is going all the way. And in a similar prediction, I predict that tonight, Eric Lauer will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. I just really trust my ability to predict things. So give the Yankees credit. Give the Yankees all the credit in the world for what they've done. And believe me, I don't like doing that. But you got to do it where it's due. And da-da-da-da. Now, Mike Clevinger, what seems to be like the 58th shutout in a row thrown by Cleveland Indians pitching. It just seems every time I look up, I say, oh, they shut him out. Another great pitching performance. Another great pitching performance. Cleveland is a potentially dangerous team in the postseason because of their pitching and that they can hit every once in a while. They get hot. They get cold. Remember, they stormed past the Twins just about a month ago, and now they're four games back of the Twins. But guess what? They're on a four-game winning streak. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. And with the victory tonight, on the 19th, the 7-0 Mike Clevinger victory over the Tigers. Now, they didn't gain any ground in the AL Central, which that ship may have sailed as the Twins' magic number is down to 6. But the Indians have caught Tampa Bay. So right now, they are tied with Tampa Bay for the second wildcard spot and 2 games behind Oakland as we start this weekend of baseball, which will include, who are the Cleveland Indians playing? The Indians are going to be playing the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that is nominally a contender. And Bieber, who is having a wonderful season, is going up against Smiley. But if there's ever a series that shows symbolically the difference between the two leagues, it's that series between Cleveland and Philadelphia. Cleveland has 90 wins and are hanging on by their fingernails to a playoff spot. Philadelphia has 78 wins and may be out of it, but are only 4 games out, which goes to show you something. A 90-win team is going to miss the postseason in the American League. You know that because only 5 teams can make the postseason. And the Yankees and Astros are already over 100. Twins are at 94. Oakland's at 92. Cleveland, Tampa Bay is at 90. Those are 6 teams. There's only 5 slots. Someone's going to be the outside looking in, saying we won 90 games this year and we couldn't punch a ticket. And last year, same thing happened as Tampa Bay went past the 90-win mark. And they were playing golf when the wild card game was being played. Meanwhile, a team that's sub 90 wins will make the postseason in the National League. Washington and Milwaukee and Chicago are the teams that are all bunched together in the National League wild card hunt right now. And the Cardinals are at 86 wins. All those teams I just mentioned, there's only 2 90-win teams right now, Los Angeles and Atlanta. So there will be a team that's sub-90 that makes it. Now, I think a big reason for that is the fact that there are more bad teams, like legitimately, horrifically bad teams in the American League. There are more teams that are tanking in the American League than in the National League. There's more parity. Remember that San Francisco was, playing footsie for a wild card spot until recently. There's really only 5 teams with no real shot at the postseason from the All-Star game on. And for a while, the Reds and the Padres were, playing really well. And Colorado, who right now is the 3rd worst team in the National League, was a wild card team as recently as July. Now, I think there is something that needs to be done about this. I think there's the whole idea of playing more games within your division, and if you have a big punching bag in there like Detroit or like Kansas City, it's going to inflate some of the win totals. The Red Sox won 108 games last year. Do I really think they were a 108 win team last year? Last year's very flawed Yankees team also won 100 games. I think some of the win totals are a little inflated, and I think some of the loss totals are a little inflated as well. What I would love to see to avoid the fiasco that happened in 2015, I'll get to that in a second, is I just want to get rid of the divisions. If we're looking at wild card scores and, okay, this Oakland is peeking over their shoulder, Cleveland are peeking over their shoulder at Tampa Bay, then why have the divisions at all? Why not just say we're going to put in the top three teams get in, punch your cards in, and the four or five teams play a play-in game. And that way, you know you're going to get the best teams in the postseason every year. I think that's the way it should be. In 2015, as I mentioned before, you saw the three best teams in the National League were the Cardinals, Pirates, and Cubs. But guess what? They all played in the same division. And the Pirates and Cubs had to eliminate, one of them had to be eliminated in the wild card game, and the winner of that series played St. Louis in the division series. So it was guaranteed that only one of the best three teams in the National League were going to be playing in the NLCS. Now, the Mets wound up finishing that gauntlet because they had to play the Dodgers and then they played the Cubs. But I would like to see that happen and then have a balanced schedule. Have a balanced schedule, no more divisions, because in the end, we're all looking at the other teams anyway. Have that happen, and I think we're going to be looking at a, well, we're going to be making great, wonderful memories in the playoff runs in the future. And do you know what? I want you to make a memory that lasts a lifetime when you use Vivid Seats app, and they'll help you get to your favorite live events. Use promo code KICKOFF at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. And anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the United States and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving listeners $100 of free delivery credit on your first 7 days. To start your deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. Okay, I know this podcast is a respite from unpleasant things, but it would be against my conscience to not mention this, and I'm only going to mention it for 1 minute, okay, starting now. It regards to the whole Domingo Germán suspension on domestic violence. I'm a big believer that sports need to be really, really hard on domestic violence. And it would behoove baseball to put some teeth into it, into their rules and into their suspensions. If someone is found suspended for domestic violence, they have a smaller punishment than if they were gambling or if they're being used in performance-enhancing drugs. And I think that's wrong. I think domestic violence is worse. I think that if you are suspended by the Major League rules for domestic violence, then you should be also suspended, I think, for life. But if that's too much for you, and it really shouldn't be, can we at least say you don't get to play in the postseason? Ever. If you're suspended. And don't have the argument be, well, the court case hasn't gone through. I'm not talking about a court of law. I'm not talking about throwing anyone in jail. And by the way, in terms of police reports and everything, please read about victim advocacy groups and listening to the stories of how hard it is to get anyone to testify or to even press charges for the police. Do you know why? Because they're terrified. And all you have to do is listen to any reaction to any accusation. It's like, ah, they're probably lying anyway. And all anyone cares about is whether or not they can play on the field. You know, it was a little disingenuous that the Yankees made such a stink about, you know, to basically have a zero tolerance policy on domestic violence on the same night where Aroldis Chapman, a player they acquired twice, was celebrating the American League East title. By the way, they acquired him while he was suspended. I just want to see some teeth in it because I want these stories to go away and I want there to be some real ramifications for it, instead of always sweeping it under the carpet to the point where we are honoring some of these people and even giving Bobby Cox a plaque in the Hall of Fame. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I believe domestic violence is worse than gambling and worse than PEDs. And I hope you agree with me. All right, back to the respite. I mentioned before that the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals are in a scrum for the National League wild card. You know that. But do you know what? If you've been following my blog, sullybaseball.wordpress.com, you know that I've been doing something called the Summer Score. And the Summer Score is where I have been giving teams points for every day that they have been in a playoff spot. Every morning where you wake up and say, how's my team doing? Well, they're in a playoff spot. They get points on the Summer Score. And it is weighted. And by that I mean June is, you know, I started after Memorial Day. So from Memorial Day to the end of June, each day is 1 point. July, each day is 2 points. August, each day is 3 points. And from September 1st to the end of the season, each day is worth 4 points. And you build up the points. So basically, it's saying, all right, how's my team doing? Are they giving me a fun summer? And every single day that I've kept the Summer Score, and the Summer Score begins on Memorial Day, every single day, the Cubs have been in a playoff spot, either first place in the National League Central or one of the two wildcard spots. Well, guess what? When Cub fans wake up today on the 20th day of September 2019, their team's out of a playoff spot. And it is a dangerous place for them to fall out of a playoff spot because they're out of a playoff spot with 9 games to play. A 9-game sample size is minuscule. You know, when you look at the standings and it says last 10 games played, and you can just say, oh, they've won 5 of their last 10. They've lost 7 of their last 10. It's a smaller sample size than that. All the Brewers have to do is play better than the Cubs for 9 games. And guess what? Bye-bye, Chicago. That is unbelievable with some of the talent and all the expectations they have, and very well could mean the end of Joe Maddon. I think he's gone anyway, but it could be the end of this run in Chicago, which just a couple of years ago looked like it was going to be a dynasty to last for a long time. But the really bizarre thing is Milwaukee. On the 5th day of September, that's 2 weeks ago, 15 days ago, the Brewers lost to the Cubs on that day. And the Brewers fell to 71-68. 5 games behind the Cubs. They were 5 games behind the Cubs 2 weeks ago. And in that 2-week span, Christian Yelich ricocheted a ball off his kneecap, ending his season and ending his run, which I believe was worthy of a second straight MVP title. Since then, the Cubs are 6-8. Now, that's not horrific. That's not good, but it's not horrific. And when you consider they got a 5-game lead and they lost their MVP, you know what? They're probably not going to worry about the Brewers. Ha ha ha! I don't even know what sound that was I just made. The Brewers have played 14 games since then and have won 12 of them. 12-2. And they have a soft schedule. Well, the Cubs will be playing a bunch against St. Louis. And on Thursday night, the Cubs put together a dramatic rally to tie the game in the 9th inning, only to lose it in the 10th. And the Brewers, after all of this strife, are only 1 game behind Washington at this point. They may go from, we're 5 games back with less than a month to play. Our season very well might be over. Oh, we lost Yelich. Our season is over, too. Hey, we could wind up hosting the wild card game. Now, this weekend is going to have a tremendous amount of interesting games. But the Brewers are playing the Pirates. Now, you remember when the Pirates played the Cubs, the Pirates forgot to show up. The Cubs were the gas house gorillas on the Pirates, and God bless you if you get that reference. And now the Brewers are playing said Pirates, who apparently all have made their plane reservations a week and a half ago, and they're already on their way to vacation. And if the Brewers can win that series, well, Chicago is playing St. Louis, and St. Louis wants to win their division and rest up a little bit in the final weeks of the season, this could be disastrous. Meanwhile, the Mets are going to be playing the Reds. Jacob DeGrom is going to be pitching against Cincinnati. The Mets are hanging around. DeGrom is pitching, which means he will go 8 innings, strike out 13 batters, give up 2 hits and 1 run, and get the no decision. Write it down. The Nationals are going to be playing the Marlins. And, I mean, this is bad news for the Chicago Cubs. Bad, bad news. Because they have to play catch-up. And all the Brewers have to do is, this weekend, beat the snot out of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, the Pirates are technically a major league team, and the players on them are technically major leaguers. So, they could show a little bit of pride. I'm interested to see if that will actually happen. In other games going around, the Yankees are going to be playing the Blue Jays. For some reason, the Blue Jays always seem to give the Yankees fits. The Astros, who are looking to clinch the home field advantage themselves, are throwing Zach Greinke against the Angels, who do not have Ohtani, do not have Trout, ergo they are a minor league team. The Twins are going to be playing the Royals as they inch closer to the American League Central title, and they will be starting the always dreaded TBD. The A's are playing the Rangers. Fires against Minor. Those names almost rhyme, and they have been having wonderful, wonderful seasons, both of them. And also going on, any other games of really high importance, the Red Sox and Rays are playing. Charlie Morton against Rick Porcello. And the Rays are aiming for the wild card. They don't have to worry about the American League East anymore. The Red Sox, they're still technically the defending World Series champions. Their elimination number is 1. So if they run the table and the Indians and Rays lose all the rest of their games, oh dear, it's not going to happen, is it? But what is going to happen is I'm going to be doing a podcast every single weekday. Have a great weekend. Listen to our show on the Himalaya podcasting app. We're on all the platforms where you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at LockedOnMLB. You can follow me, your pal Sully, at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let's keep this fun, shall we? Let's have some fun. This is baseball, and it's going to be fun. So this has been the Locked On MLB Podcast for the 20th day of September. Easy for you to say, 2019. I'm Paul Francis Sullivan, TV producer and comedian. Please call me Sully.